It's a long portion I'm going to read. I'll jump here and there so as to save time, especially since we have read some of them many times. And I'll now slow down where the thing that is most relevant to what we want to discuss is to be found. Verse 11 said, "It said, okay, let me just start from verse 9. I'll jump here. And they said, we have not stopped praying for you. Paul was writing. Since we first heard about you, we asked God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Now, we also pray that you'll be strengthened with all his glorious power. May you be filled, he says, with joy, always giving, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share, I'm in verse 12, in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. Now, please, let me slow down verse 13. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. He said, Christ, now notice this from verse 15, that's why I'm slowing down really now. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, that is order, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen realm, let me add words to it, arrangement of the galaxies, the flow of radioactive material, the bursts of the sun that most people don't know about, scientists are discovering in recent times and they think it just happened by itself. He said all these things were made through Christ. The order of the universe, the laws of physics, all the ones that Albert Einstein and co. discovered, the laws of supersymmetry, quantum physics, are you getting my point? All those things that are unseen, that's what he described there as, he said, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities. That is order that you find in the spiritual realm. And authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. And when it says, and for him, that is, they serve his purpose. They serve his purpose. Verse 17 says, he existed before anything else. That's Christ he's talking about now. And he holds all creation together. Now, he has described this Christ. Now, look up for a moment. The excellency of this Christ. How he was before all things. And in him, you find everything holding together. That is, if you find any law that physicists would describe, they are the laws of Christ. They are not the laws of physics. I hope you're getting my point. That's just his manifestation in the realm of physics. All these things are Christ. That's one side. He now said there's another mystery you must understand. This same Christ, go back to the Bible now, verse 18, is also the head of the church. As great as he is, he is part of the church, the head part, which is his body. He is the beginning, that is, of the church, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything in this church. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil actions, thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. Now listen to this. He's stating facts. He's not discussing. He's stating what? Facts. Things that are just like that. Whether you know it or not, they are facts. He said, he has reconciled you, speaking about believers, to himself. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. As a Christian, you are in his presence. As a Christian, he said, you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Hot-tempered fellow like you. Ambitious creature like you. With all the errors you made the last 1 week. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
As far as God is concerned, you know, Balaam said he has beheld no iniquity in Jacob. The same people that were doing all the orukurukus. That's what Balaam said. Balaam said, God doesn't see any iniquity in these people. You see as we go, you say, okay, but what about when this happened? Just wait. You see as we go on. He said, he sees you, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless. As you stand before him without a single fault. That is why I said to you, I'd never agree when anybody says I should do something so as to please God, you know, so that God can accept me. God can accept me into prosperity. He can accept me into divine protection. You do this. People tell me they have made a covenant with God. That when they do this for him, he will do this for them. Drop those covenants. You wrote it on tissue paper. It has rained. Yes, you can't make a covenant with him. You know why? You don't even belong to yourself. How can I tell you? Please hold my car keys. Okay, help me park my car properly. Okay, like just now, when I arrived, I didn't find where to park and I was running a bit late. So I just parked recklessly. Came upstairs, I gave my keys to Yinka. I said, Yinka, please go down and go and help me repark. He now gets there with the car keys and starts making a deal. Suya. This suya man, if you can just give me this amount of suya, I'll give you this car to use every day for the next 1 week. Just because I parked near the suya spot. Can he make a covenant with my property? You don't belong to yourself. What kind of nonsense covenant are you making? Christians, look, they don't understand. And all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. That's where I'm going on. There is nothing you can do to bring you into his presence because he says right now he has brought you through the shedding of the blood of Christ into his presence. He said, he says you are now holy and blameless without fault before him. Let's continue reading. This is the reason why I read New Living Translation. This verse I want to read now. This is the main reason. Paul says, but. Everybody says, but. Say it again.
But.
He said, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. That is the but in it. Do you believe this truth?
Yes, yes, sir.
That's what he's asking. Are you standing firmly? Why does he say firmly? Why does he say firmly? Because many things will come to try and shake that truth away from you. Another confused human being is going to sleep one day and dream that he saw you in hellfire. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes, another one will dream one day. Those are the people that try to shake you from truth. Another one will dream one day and explain to you that the reason why you have problems is that there was a covenant that was made by your ancestors. I heard a man preach that if your father was a slave trader, I didn't hear him directly, it was reported. That is why you are having broken marriages. Why? Because as a slave raider would have gone to raid slaves, and many of those slaves were members of a family, and therefore, by raiding the slaves, the family has been broken. So, they have sowed a seed which has become a curse, are you getting my point? Over the subsequent generations. So if your great-grandfather was a slave raider or a slave trader, you are going to have suffered divorce, broken home, your children will marry and they will have divorces and all of that. Why? Because there was a curse that was placed upon your ancestors because of his works. Thereby saying to you, please don't stand firm in this truth. The most dangerous people to God, as far as his church is concerned, are those who preach wrong doctrines. The Muslim is not a problem. If I say this to you, it will make you laugh. Even if all the deacons steal church money, they are not a problem. He said the church building will not be complete. God said that is not a problem. That is not a problem. As for the people who stole, we'll discipline them, but that one is not a problem. If I say this, is going to make you laugh. When a pastor divorces his wife and marries the chief choir leader, it's a very terrible thing. You know that? It's not a problem. If you find the members of the church doing orukurukus, it's a horrible thing, you know? They will fall into the judgment hand of the living God. But that is not a serious problem. When in the church at Corinth, one man will come to church holding hands with his father's wife. And he'll sit in front because his offering was good. And the people tolerated him. When Paul wanted to write them, he still said, I have heard of your faith. I've heard of your love. I've heard of this. I've been praying for you. That's in Corinth. He was praying for them before he now went down and said, come. You are still carnal, you are behaving like little children. These are childish things. There's still strife amongst you. But listen, when he got to the Galatians, did they steal money? No record of that. Did anybody collect anybody's wife? We're not aware of it. They just believed a wrong doctrine and there was no greeting for them. Go and read Galatians chapter 1. Paul, so. Who did this one? Oh, foolish Galatians. I am amazed that you are so... I don't have time. Let's not spend all the time. But you go to Galatians chapter 1, go and read it. There was no greeting. I've heard of your faith, of your love, how you have endured. The man, immediately, he was raving. He was angry. Listen, he began to... Oh, God, you never heard Paul talk like that. Let me tell you what he said. If anybody says anything different from what I have said, it no go better for him. That now worry Paul. You know what I'm saying? That's worry. What he said, well, what do you mean? This was what he said. He said, let him be what? Accursed. He did not steal anything from anybody. You call anybody's wife. All he did was to say to the people that the fact that you have believed does not mean you should not be circumcised. Even though you have believed, you still need the circumcision of Jacob. You need the circumcision of Moses before your faith is complete. When Paul heard it, they brought the laws of Moses and said, Sabbath day is like this. These are the festivals of God. You have to observe. That is why I said to you, I am angry with all these doctrines of God will not prosper if he does not see your first fruits and your tithes. I don't believe a word of it. Not a word. Not a word. Not a word. Why? It's not true. It is simply not true. It's not true. It is when we have misunderstood Christ, we bring out things from under Judaism. We want you to support the doctrines that we are preaching. When Paul heard it, Paul hated wrong doctrines. I was saying to you earlier, if the pastor divorces his wife and marries the choir leader, it's not a terrible problem. I was careful to stop where I stopped. It becomes a problem when he comes to church and starts preaching that what he did is in order. That is a problem. If he does it, shuts up and doesn't talk about it, and everybody looking at him like, and he starts preaching about the second coming, God will be observing him. Where his problems will begin. So when that takes the Bible and begins to use it to support his practices. Ah! Apart from being a son of God, you're also a servant of God. And servants are assessed periodically to see whether they will stay on their post or they will not. Listen, as I James said, if they say post of teacher open, say don't apply. Let God force it upon you. Say because it's the one that called, it doesn't mean that your judgment will not be double. Let me continue preaching. Listen. Why did I read that? Verse 23. He said, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. He said, the good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. I will stop there. That's verse 23. Why did I read this? I'm proclaiming Christ again, which is something many of us that teach the word of God today don't understand, therefore we don't proclaim it enough. Please go and read my article, the one I sent out some time ago. In fact, no, it was in our magazine for last month, Believing Unto Fear or Into Freedom. Yes. Please go and read it. There's a reason why I'm saying you should read it. Because in it, I try to bring out something to show that there is a position that God places you in life in Christ Jesus. And it affects the way you view things in life. And you must be careful that you stay in that position by your faith. Listen, why we read this thing is to let you see that God was saying that everything I have, so everything I created in life, I created through Christ. And they exist in Christ. And that this same Christ is the head of the body. That is, any part of the body that wants to continue to flourish should know that there is nothing he or she needs in life more than a constant connection with the head. Because this Christ is the head of everything, every business principle. You know, I was talking to my wife today. I said, well, something led to it, you know. She's coordinating a couples meeting and all of that. And I said, look, tell your leader that every time the couples meet, it should not be couples problems that they are discussing. I don't know whether I get my point. For example, the topic yesterday was, help, I don't love my spouse anymore. It's a good topic. Let's go and help you. Amen. Then another day, I told her, let the next topic not be in-law troubles in the family. Then after that, it will be, husband, don't disagree with your wife in front of the children. And these are very good topics, too. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying they are bad. I'm going somewhere. I told my wife, I said, do you know why? I said, you are not a good husband because you've learned all the principles of marriage. You are a good husband because you are like Christ. That is an Israelite journey. You understand? Trying to learn every little principle. That why don't you get up, gather, and let us exalt Christ in the midst of everybody. You will find that without saying a word about marriage will be sweeter. I was admonishing my wife. I said, listen, let me say something to you here. Christianity means that a man, a woman, who beholds the face of God enough, without going to a business school, will outshine 10 Harvard MBA graduates. He didn't go near a business school. You know why? Because every law of business was made through him and for him. Listen, that's how it is. That's how it is. You say, what about, for example, are you saying that somebody who beholds the face of Christ very well, even without going to medical school, will be a better doctor? That's what I said. That's what I said. In fact, if you go to medical school these days, you are more confused than ever before. The great, listen, I know what I'm saying. I'm not kidding about it. The fear of God is what? The Bible also says it's the beginning of knowledge. So we say until people fear God, they don't know anything. The foundation of medicine, all right, it's been shifting. The foundation that the fathers laid, the modern people are removing it and putting their own down. And the medicine now is being founded on this principle, there is no God. Everything is a mistake. One day nothing exploded. And despite the fact that there is a law of conservation of matter, nothing suddenly became everything. And we believe it, and we are using it to put down the foundation of medical therapies. And that is why it's not working. Like I quote for you all the time, that they say in the United States of America, more people die annually because their doctor made a mistake than died in the whole of the Vietnam War. And in Vietnam War, there were 55,000 people that died. Yes, I mean it like that. There is a kind of wisdom. Go and Google up this man's story. He also didn't go to school. He was a slave. His name is George Washington Carver. George Washington Carver was a man who always beheld the face of Christ through the scriptures. They said one day the man prayed, listen to this, and said, God, show me the mysteries of the universe. And the Lord said to him, you can't receive it. Pick something else. So he picked the peanuts, the groundnuts, and said, I would like to know about the groundnut. God said, no problem. Let me show you. He made over 100 products from the groundnut. He addressed Congress in the height of slavery. No, when there were still slaves in America, a black man came to Congress and addressed them and taught them shifting cultivation because of the wisdom of God. He showed them that the cotton crop wasn't doing well because the land was overfarmed. He taught them how to shift crops. The things you learned in biology, nitrogen fixation, leguminous plants, that was the man who began it. I got this book we brought here the other time, Mover of Men and Mountains, R.J. Luteno. He didn't go to school, you know, the way that's become an engineer. He called himself a self-taught engineer. By the revelations of God, he said one day he came from church. He wanted to go and sleep. Suddenly, as his head hit the bed, a deer hit his mind. He ran back to his study and began to sketch their next machine. Next day, he went to work, gave it to his engineers. He took the engineers weeks to decode and properly draw what a man sketched just roughly overnight. He didn't go to school. They all had BSc, B engines, M engines, and P engines. You know what I mean? So yes, when I made that statement, I wasn't joking. I mean it literally. Many of the things we inherited in medicine today were given to us by men who God revealed them to. And if we go back to school and we start learning that there is no God, we are removing the ability to learn new things. Because when men don't fear God, they don't know anything. Their knowledge is corrupt. In fact, take the realm of business. You will do better reading the scriptures than any business book I've seen. Apart from Business by the Book, which is Business by the Bible. By, what's the name of this man? Larry Bucket. There are things they don't do in business in the world that's Christian. And God will show you this is how to do it. So I said to my wife, I said, listen, let's stop gathering. Listen to us. Listen to me, everybody. I said, if you gather trying to solve marriage problems, you have more to solve. I said, gather, lift up Christ. Let people behold the face of Christ. Then they will know exactly what God made them to be. At the same time, there is an infusion. You can't behold the face of God and his glory will not shine through you. It's not possible. It's not possible. It is not possible. When Moses went to listen to instructions from God, he came down and he thought everything was normal. Except that his face was shining, he did not know. You can't be in God's presence and you won't soak his anointing. It's not possible. The problem, I like what the Rabbi Zachariah said, maybe he was saying it or quoting somebody, that there appears, let me paraphrase, because I can't remember the word for word now. He said that it's not as if Christianity has been tried and found to be defective. He said, but the demands of Christianity, men saw it, ran away, and they never tested it. I'm saying something, because as we go on, you'll see it. Because being a believer, beholding the face of Christ, it brings you up in challenge against some norms in the society. And that is where most of us lose it. When we are afraid to stand up and challenge what everybody is saying and stand by it. That's where most of us lose it. That is where most of us lose it. What am I preaching? I'm preaching to Christians the solution of God for all the troubles of mankind. That's what I'm preaching. Listen, when God was calling Abraham, forget Abraham for a moment. When God was discussing with Adam and talking to Noah, and then one day he called Abraham and he said that your wife will be, and they talk for 25 years, the wife be, then after a long time, we go and sacrifice. Then the boy sacrifice, is the man now, sacrifice the boy. I won't say the boy, let's not be the boy sacrifice the man. The man sacrificed the boy. And God said, I have blessed you. I have sworn by, I will bless you. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And then finally grabbed Jacob and began to use all those children of Jacob to bring up a nation. Go and read the story of those children of Jacob. You don't want them as friends. If Reuben is your friend, you keep your wife far away. Simeon and Levi, they are your friends. Don't annoy them. They will behead somebody. Look at all those children. He built them into a nation. He will deliver them from trouble today. By his own hands, push them into trouble tomorrow. Then deliver them again. Why was he doing all of this? Simply because he was trying to bring out the medicine to solve all problems in life. Do you get my point? I remember when Lexus first came out. And I read the advert or a review on the first Lexus. There were two of them, the LS400 and the ES300. And they described how, I forgot the number of engineers, worked for over 10 years to come up with just these two cars. They were saying to you that the cars have to be perfect. Toyota gathered engineers for about 10 years or more to design their luxury range. And when they came out with the first luxury car they had, the LS400. And they were so proud of it, they said, without an exhaust, you remove the exhaust, the engine was still silent, at least to a very large degree. You could arrange glasses on the dashboard, start the car, and fill it with wine, and the wine would not spill. Why? It took their engineers 10 years. They gave the total number of man hours, thousands of man hours that the engineers spent designing the first Lexus. 10 years, human engineers. What about God, who in eternity past, do you get my point?
Yes.
Began to plot things, brought down things to the earth through the mouths of angels, walked through the fathers. Are you getting my point? At the end of the day, to bring out not two cars, but one person. And he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away all the troubles of the whole world. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he wasn't joking. He wasn't bragging. It was not about who's more handsome, who got here first. No. He was stating simple truths. He said, this is the end to all the struggles of mankind. I want to start my message today with the struggles of mankind. But let me end with it, and I'll start with it next time. The other day, my wife and I were watching. I stumbled into the program on TV, and I called her, baby, come and sit down here, watch with me. How the Hindus were celebrating one of their major festivals, which holds once in every 12 years. And they called it the Kumbh Mela. That one, they said over, is it 60 million people gathered, I forgot the number of millions, over like a week or two, to come and dip themselves in a river that is the fifth dirtiest river in the world, the Ganges River. Is the fifth most polluted river in the world. Sometimes people are dipping in it, and a corpse that was thrown inside will pop up beside them. Children do the doo-doo inside the water. You get my point? Did I say children? Adults. And they said this is the water that came down from somewhere, and then it washes away their sins. Then we were watching, and they had what they call sadhus. They are holy men. And I saw what holy men were doing to be holy. What were they doing to be holy? One man, I told you about him, he had not sat down in 10 years, nor laid down. And he had 2 more years to go. He had a vow that he made. You know, when I see Christians say they want to fast, when they fast, God will hear them. I laugh. God, I will eat. God will still hear me. Because my feeding is in his presence. As you can see, I have been brought into his presence. You haven't done anything. You want to go hungry? Go and see what men have done in the discipline of the flesh. Say, I keep my body under. Go and meet Buddha. You will see what they call keeping body under. He said one day he fasted until his whole back, that he was a skeleton walking. Even Buddha, without Jesus Christ, realized that was not the way of God. Those guys were looking for something. I'm trying to get somewhere. They practiced what they call asceticism. A man met Buddha and said to him, I've practiced asceticism austerity, they called it, for 20 years. Now I can walk across water. He said, what do I mean? Jesus walked across water. Yes, go and read it. Many of the miracles that Moses did in Egypt, the Egyptian magicians also did them. But to attain it, that's what's different between Christ Jesus and these people. To attain it, this man practiced his religion for 20 years. Holy man trying to attain holiness. My wife saw it. These guys, they walk naked. They don't wear clothes. It's part of holiness movement. So you think you're the first to remove your earring. What have you removed in earring? Men have removed shokoto. They remove pata. They are walking naked. You say you remove earring. If it is by earring, those guys will have mansion in heaven. They will give you BQ. If not earring. To show how much they have put their bodies under, these men will tie bricks to their genitals. They are naked. And stand like this. And you see man standing with his man hanging with brick. Because of holiness. One tied a car to his own thing and was pulling it like this. No wonder Martin Luther came and shouted, because even we Christians did it at a time. We said we've sinned, we'll crawl on our knees and say we are doing penance. And Martin Luther had to shout, it is by faith alone. That night as we were watching it, my wife was laughing. She noticed that I was sober, I wasn't laughing. I told her, baby, it's not funny. You are laughing at them? I said, what they are doing is not funny. They are struggling for something that you got free. I told her at the beginning, I realized that I walk in a kind of freedom men do not even know exists. I said to you, under God, Buddha should have worshipped me. Buddha! That's cause of millions are following his image till today. Buddha could not have stood my presence. He does not know holiness. Me, Banky. Not kidding about that. You know when John saw Jesus. You know, when Jesus came to be baptized, he said, I should have been baptized by you. They bowed down before Jesus Christ. I am saying, if Buddha was alive today and he met me, he should have bowed down to worship. I'll have had to tell him, Buddha, I am a man like yourself. Worship God alone. Why? Because I'm so... Now, listen, I've not gone through his meditations. Are you getting my point? I've not done any of it. I've not walked naked for anybody. Since I became an adult, I don't show up in public without my loins girded with truth. Yet, I am saying, and I'm saying it boldly under God, I'm not bragging. If Buddha had met me, he was supposed to bow. I would have had to caution him and say, don't worry, sir. I'm a man too. Worship God alone. Why? Because if indeed he was spiritual, he would have perceived true holiness. I am certain of what I'm saying. I realize something. I have a kind of peace that men will meditate for 20 years to attain. And I found it only in Christ Jesus. And it's not a peace I try to get. It is a peace that by itself stands guard over my heart. We saw that Sadhu that day. And the man had not sat down in 10 years. He hadn't laid down. How does he sleep? They hang a pillow from a roof and they rest upon it like this. And they said he had 2 more years to go. And I saw another man, his hand was lifted. He had not dropped that arm in 10 years. He also had 2 years to go. Why are they doing this? Why are they going through all of this pain? They are trying to attain to a particular spiritual level where they could contact God. And Jesus looked and said, no, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except he comes through me. That's what I'm preaching. That is what I have come to preach in this season. To talk about Christ, that final way. There's no other way. When Jesus said that statement, he was not bragging. He was saying, listen, if men had to meditate for a generation, I have done enough meditation. And when I did that meditation, I didn't do it to get anything. I did it to open a way. I overcame evil. I resisted every temptation. I pleased the Father in every respect. So that anybody who wants to come near the Father, all he needs to do is jump inside me. And God will not see any fault in him. He said the assignment, let me summarize with that. The assignment for every believer is to be found in Christ. That is all. Paul said, this is why I labor. I labor. You put me in prison, I don't care. I labor. I teach. I write. I prophesy. I do everything that everybody may be found in him. I want preachers, please, stop offering people any other assurance in life concerning being found in the presence of God other than being in Christ Jesus. Don't encourage anybody to brag on his tithes, his offerings, his prayers, his giving, or anything. I'll discuss those things as we go on. Every form of giving that Christians do, they do because of faith. Everything you do in life is purely because of what? Faith. It is not a negotiation with God. It's not a negotiation with him. It's not allowed. You come, that's why I told before, please go and listen to that message if you haven't listened to it, why God answers your prayers. I started deliberately with challenging some of the things we practice these days that give people assurance. I started with it deliberately to make you wake up and say, what is going on here? What is going on here? We have taken many of the things that were types. You know, I was listening to the tabernacle being described when God was telling Moses, and something I have come to understand. I first heard Pastor Paul, you preached this thing long ago. He said, every single bit of that tabernacle was describing Christ Jesus. Every single law that he gave them, there's something about Christ to be found in it. We don't stick with the laws. We stick with the Christ. Later we'll talk about it. Many of the laws that God gave the Jews were very, very useless things. So why did he give them? He said, because they are wicked people. What do I mean? Divorce your wife. He said, yes, divorce your wife. Then give her a certificate. But please, once you divorce her, she can't come back. That was the only thing God threatened them with. So they came to Jesus and said, but Moses said, we could divorce our wife. He said, yes. He said to them, that was a sign of your wickedness that God could not tackle. So he said, okay, you're allowed to divorce your wife. He said, in the beginning, it was not so. I'll say this one to you. When God told them, bring a tenth of your income, it was a sign of their wickedness also. God doesn't deal with 10%. You know what God is with? 100. 100. 100. 100. He said, don't save any of it for tomorrow, rainy day. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen, if you know God, your 100% is not even, it's just enough to solve every problem that God has given you to solve today. Give to the work of ministry, take care of yourself, give to your parents, help the poor. By the time you finish, money don't finish up. If God says, okay, you go and conquer the land, then you have to take from that money. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If God wants you to be the one to own airlines, from that money also, he starts telling you how to sow the seed. I mean, go and listen to my message on how to sow seed when I talked about buying a life by grace. There are four things I say you need to succeed in life. One, I said, is prayer. Number two, I said, prophecy. Number three, I said, is a seed. And number four, I said, is rest. Yes. And that seed, what does that seed mean? Is the material. There are two kinds of seed, all right? But the physical seed is when you take what God has given you now to occupy till he comes. That's different from saving up from tomorrow. Very different. Very different. It is a responsibility Christians owe, all right, as a servant, as each one of us are servants of God to do certain things in life. Some people, you must multiply money and take over kingdoms. That's part of the deal. By the time you finish doing all of these things, God don't have time calculating percentage with anybody. At all. At all. When it comes to ministry work, anyway, let me stop my message here. Those of you are preachers, learn it. People can be giving 1%, 2%, 10%. They can give any percentage you like. But just like God called you to ministry, there are those he called to give also. That's the way it is. That's why you never hear me come here and come and say, please, we are looking for money. Israel, are we looking for money? Money is looking for us.
Amen.
Money is always looking for us. Money is always looking for us. And it will continue in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Why? Because a prayer I prayed long ago is simple. Lord, the way you have sent me with an anointing to preach, send laborers into the harvest field with money to give. You know the way word go day my mouth, I won't preach them. The same manner money would day some people's pocket, they won't give them. Many of you are laughing, that's your ministry. And God will bless you to manifest it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Christianity, our laws are different though. It's different from Judaism. I said those things at the beginning to shake you up that there is a realm bigger than the one you have been operating, bigger than the one people have been preaching to you. Please, I just bow down here and say, Father, I thank you for Christ. Very important. Just say, Lord, we thank you. We thank you.